This is Vatican News. Loreto's sister, Orla Tracy, the recipient of a 2019 Woman of Courage Award, came to Vatican Radio to talk about her work in a remote area of South Sudan, where she runs a boarding school for girls, offering protection, education, and the hope that one day they too will be included in the building of their country. The Women of Courage Award honours women around the world who have demonstrated exceptional courage, strength and leadership in acting to bring positive change to their societies, often at great personal risk and sacrifice. Originally from Ireland, Sister Orla was in Rome to participate in a symposium hosted by the US Embassy to the Holy See, demonstrating how governments, civil society and individuals can be more effective in fragile communities and regions by partnering with women religious working on the frontiers.
We had a very good symposium. We were three sisters working in different parts of the world, and it was a great privilege to have the opportunity to speak on behalf of sisters who are working on the frontiers. As religious sisters, we're all over the world, working in different conflict areas. So three of us gathered, a sister from Nigeria, a sister from India, and myself, talked about our different experiences working in different conflict areas and places around the world.
So the frontiers are the peripheries?
Yeah, we were talking this morning about it, and some people were saying, well, frontiers and peripheries, they're not necessarily just physical places. Obviously, they're internal places for us all in life as well. But as for us, it was very much talking about physical places, places that are vulnerable and fragile. And South Sudan, unfortunately, has become one of those countries that is fragile and vulnerable. And sadly, a dangerous place and a challenging place for many people to live in.
It's not your first contact with the American Embassy to the Holy See. You were awarded the International Courage Award in 2019, this year.
I think when I talk about the Women of Courage Award, I think of it as a very much a collective award for us as a school. We were very privileged and very honoured to get the nomination from the American Embassy to the Vatican. There were 10 awardees from around the world. We travelled to Washington and I received that award in March on behalf of the many young women of courage that I work with.
And you received it just before International Women's Day.
Yeah, it was very nice. It was just on the eve of it and we celebrated well.
When you speak about school, you speak about your school in Rumbek.
Yeah, we, as Loreto Sisters from Ireland, we went with a very clear invitation to begin a girls' boarding secondary school. We went in February 2006 to begin that boarding school in a town where girls were not educated. When we arrived in a town of 30,000 people, there were about 10 girls in secondary school. So the invitation was very clear. It was given to us by the Bishop of the Diocese that we would begin this school. And we thankfully have been able to develop it. It has grown and we have added other projects to it as well. So it's been a very beautiful journey for us and a very challenging one in many ways too.
And it's going forward.
It's very much going forward. From 35 girls in 2008, we now have 291 girls. And thankfully, 90% of our graduates are now going on to university and graduating from university, which has been an extra bonus for all of us too.
When you went there 13 years ago, it wasn't even South Sudan. So you lived through the whole very exciting moment in which there was such hope for the new nation. Today, we're witnessing downward spiral of violence and fear, more displaced people. How has your work changed in these years?
When we went in 2006, we were part of Southern Sudan, and it was the second year of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. That was a six-year agreement between the North and South. In 2010, there was a referendum, and 99% of Southerners voted for independence. It was an incredible experience. I mean, I think that sense of parents waiting for a baby to be born would parallel. It really was a sense of a new baby being welcomed. And it was a time of great joy. I'm Irish and we have our own history of independence and what that means. So I think as an Irish person, I could understand what it meant for the people as well. We're not educated, and this is part of our challenge in South Sudan. We're the most illiterate country in the world. And I think that when we got our independence, I think many of us were blinded to the road ahead. We have oil and we have many countries interested in the oil. But I think the structures were not in place to help support the birth of that new country. And unfortunately, just after over 2 years, Our president and vice president, there was a disagreement between them, and the country went back into its own new South Sudan civil war. It was our, I said, the other civil wars had been with the North. This was now an internal civil war. It has been a painful journey to go from hope and peace and joy and expectation into the reality of today. We are 11 million people. The country is twice the size of Italy. But today, 4 million are displaced and nearly 7 million are hungry. So that's a very challenging reality to live in. And it is, I think, fragile is probably the best word for us. Thankfully, we mission, our ministry is with young people. And I think wherever you work with young people, wherever you are in the world, you'll always taste hope. And that has kept us very focused on our mission. And it has become a real mission of hope. And these young women want to be the change and they want to see the change in their country.
What real concrete possibilities do these young women have now that you have given them or allowed them to obtain an education, a specialisation? What can they go on to do in their country today?
I think for the girls in our school, we have been privileged in that we can offer a boarding school education for them. And I think the best way is to describe it as a women's refuge. These girls are able to escape the pressures of forced and early marriage. And sadly, that is on the increase as the war situation has continued and as poverty has crept into more and more lives and the hunger. 52% of 18-year-old girls are now being married in South Sudan. And most will admit that it's a forced or it's an early marriage for them. So our girls would see the possibilities of being in school as a safety and as a security. Statistics would say that 1% of girls have the chance to finish secondary school. So most of our girls are the first girl in their family to be educated. Yet they have seen their older sisters graduate from our school. Sisters in the school sense of the word, not biological sisters, obviously. They have seen the graduates graduate from secondary school with us, graduate from university, and those girls are now getting jobs. They're now getting paid positions within communities, within organisations, and they're now contributing back to their families. And families are beginning to see the value of education. They're beginning to see that girls can contribute to the building of their family. And I think for young people coming to our school today, there is great hope and expectation that they can do great things for their community as well.
And what about yourself? You live in such close contact with such enormous difficulty, fear, desperation when you see your country continue to be engulfed in violence. How do you manage to stay so hopeful?
I think for me, working with young people is a great gift and a great joy to me. Working with young people will always show me hope and they will always give me courage. I think, you know, in the African context and the South Sudanese context, they would see me often as a mother. Obviously, biologically, I'm not their mothers, but you do take that responsibility on. And it is something that as sisters that we would carry. And the fear that we feel is very often for the fear of the girls. It's not usual that we would feel the fear ourselves, but you would feel it for the girls when they're going home to their families, or you'd feel that sense of pain when they come back from 3 weeks of home leave where they've been with their families and they've lost weight. Or they come back after 7 weeks and they have nothing coming back to school. So you identify with that and there is a lot of pain with it. But with the hope, with the pain, there is that sense of seeing and having the privilege to witness these remarkable young women who want to push the boundaries and who want to make a change. That gives me hope. And I think the sisters around me, we would say the same thing, that we have great hope from them.
It's obviously a Catholic school, the Loreto Sisters. Do you take in girls of other religious denominations as well?
South Sudan would be very much a Christian place. We would have a lot of Protestant and a lot of Catholic. We don't tend to differentiate between them. What we do try to do is to get geographical representation. South Sudan has 64 different tribal groups. So the big one of the big motivators for us is to try and unite them, to give them a sense of a more national identity rather than a local tribal identity. And the faith base that they belong to isn't significant to us in that sense. It's more important about trying to get them from different areas of the country and to bring them together.
That could also be
an added value on the road to peace, I would think.
You know, when we started the school, we were very clear it was a boarding school, secondary school. We never anticipated all the benefits that could come from that. And one of the striking benefits for us is to see the witness of the girls learning one another's cultures, learning one another's dances, identifying and understanding. We would have girls who are coming from different sides of feuds. Their brothers are killing one another. And yet in school, they could be best friends. And that gives me hope for the future of South Sudan too.
What is your hope for the future of your particular beautiful part of the world?
I think when I was in Washington earlier this year, I said one of the dreams that I have is that in the future, I will sit in the hall in Washington and watch one of our graduates take the prize of a woman of courage, because I have never met such courageous women. The government in its new peace agreement has given 35% of positions to women, but sadly only 19% of women in the country are educated. So my dream and my hope is to see more and more young women take their place in the society, contribute to the development of their families, contribute to peace building in their communities, and also to take leadership positions around the country as well.
Pope Francis received the leaders of South Sudan here in the Vatican. He got down on his knees and kissed their feet. Did that news get back to your girls, and how was it received?
We in our school are big fans of Pope Francis. We're really hoping that when he comes to South Sudan, he'll even visit us. So I'm putting that invitation out there to him as well. When he kissed the feet of the leaders, it was an extraordinary act. In South Sudan, a big man, a leader, he cannot bend low in front of another. A woman can, but a man cannot. So to see the Pope do that in front of the many leaders of South Sudan, not just the two, the president and vice president, but other leaders as well, was huge for the girls. And I think part of their education also is learning other values and Christian values, forgiveness and love, mercy and peace. And I think what he did that day, it spoke more words than I could say in a year to them. It was really a beautiful moment.